God breathes in our worship. How many know that the Bible talks about the bowls of incense before the throne of grace, before the throne of God, amen, which represent the prayers of the saints. In other words, your prayers are as a sweet incense before the Father. They ascend up before Him as incense. It's a sweet, fragrant offering to Him when you pray to God, when you speak to God, when you commune with God. And music is a tool, amen, that God has given to mankind also to help us worship as well. The Psalms are all, amen, it's all songs. And there's prophetic utterances throughout Psalms. And times when David would just meditate on the Lord and he would speak out the things that were in his heart and he would put it to music. And there's a connection between the prophetic and music. It is a tool God gives us. I believe music is not neutral, as some would say. I believe that music itself is a language. And I believe there is a sound from heaven that we need to tap into. I believe that music can produce bad fruit too. Think about that for a few minutes. Certain kinds of music can produce bad fruit. All right, it got real quiet in here. Has anybody ever listened to certain music and it bummed you out? Okay, we might never get somewhere. Yeah. How many know that they use music in media, right, to produce a mood?
Yes.
Emotion. Yeah. So when you're watching a TV show, if it was a silent film and you had no music, no words, and you were just watching maybe a man and woman talking together, you can only just imagine what's going on there. I said, I wonder what they're discussing. So you might look at something such as body language. If they look mad, it's not a good sign. If they look happy, that's a good sign. But you take and you inject some music to that scene, and now all of a sudden it becomes a love story. Music is a language. Have anybody watched a scary movie before? Uh-huh. How many think scary movies are a good thing? Nobody dare raise their hand, but you'll go home and watch one, right? Yeah. Hopefully not. You don't want to feed fear. Don't feed fear in your life. Come on, is this making sense? You don't want to feed fear. There's enough of that already to contend with in just daily living, amen, to be actually feeding it. Poor little Johnny can't go to sleep at night because he's fearful because he just watched a horror flick. How many know the devil wants our children to just be fearful? He wants all of us to walk in fear because fear is the opposite of faith. But there's a sound that we need to tap into. There's a sound of even, what was it, Bach, who wrote every note he said to the glory of God. His music itself was a testimony to God. So music can lift your soul. I mean, music can be good for you. Music sometimes will help you if you're struggling with maybe even getting stirred to pray. How many of you got to stir yourself to pray sometimes? It just doesn't happen sometimes. You got to stir up the gift within you. You got to shake yourself sometimes out of that apathy or that complacency. And you've got to begin to bring a sacrifice of praise before the Lord. It's an offering, amen? It costs you something. Because most of us, if we don't feel like it, we don't. But we don't live by just how we feel. We live by principles, amen? We live by the truth. Because if you just allow your emotions to control the direction of your life, you're going to be in trouble all the time. You're going to be discouraged often. You're going to be down often. You know, you don't have to allow yourself to get into a deep pit. You need to just draw near to God. Amen? Amen. There is a place in Psalms 91. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a place of rest. There's a place of refreshment in the Lord that is available to everyone who will call upon Him. He guards our hearts and our minds. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Amen, King James. It's in His presence where we realize our completeness. Because our completeness is in Him, right? In Christ. We are complete in Him. So the enemy's constantly trying to get you to disconnect. He doesn't want you to worship God. He wants you to be controlled by your emotions. He wants you to be controlled by the opinions of men. Well, if the other does it, I'll do it. If the crowd does it, I'll do it. Thank God you're not that way. Amen. If the crowd ain't worshiping here, you are as an individual. And guess what? You as an individual make up the crowd. And I thank God that we can come together and experience what we have here, because we have a hunger, we have a heart after Him. God wants us to seek Him out. Seek, and you shall find. Now, if you lost something in your house, has anybody ever lost anything in their house before? In some homes, it's probably easier to do than others, but... But if you lose something, you've got to be diligent to find that. And so, you're not going to find it if you sit in your lazy boy and hope it'll just show up. So it is when we worship. Folks, not everything just drops in your lap. He is a rewarder of those who, Hebrews 11 and 6, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Yeah. Has anybody discovered that? Now, there are times in your life, and you know what happens, folks? Is if we allow ourselves to be controlled by the emotional or the sensual or the soulless part of us, and we come together and we're all like just... We've got all this junk going on in our minds and our heads and our emotions. And we all come together and we bring all that garbage in here. Guess what? It affects everything. Yeah. Now, sometimes you can't help it. You just got to come the way you are. And you know what? You're welcome to come just the way you are. But God help us. We don't want you to stay the way you are. And I don't want to stay the way I am either. God doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants you to get better. He wants you to get well. He wants you to receive His peace. That passes all understanding. This peace that will guard your heart and your mind. You see, you don't have to let yourself get into a deep funk in the Lord. There's a place where you can go if you're willing to pursue Him. Something that is of worth, of value, is worthy to be sought out. If you lose a treasure, or if you're seeking for treasure, you will go to great lengths to find that treasure. He is our treasure. There are many people who don't realize how good God is. So they don't feel that there's any need to seek Him or to know Him personally or intimately, to really have an encounter with Him, because they've never tasted. You won't know how good a piece of fruit is until you take a bite of it. Amen? So you've got to taste and see that the Lord is good. And you say, ooh, that was good. I think I want some more. I want more, Lord. I want more of You. And to the natural man mind, this doesn't make sense. See, the natural man does not care about the things of God. The natural man can go to church and go through all the motions. Amen? Punched the clock at the door, did his duty. But he's not going to understand a spiritual person. He's not going to understand a person who worships in spirit until he gets over himself and he begins to set his heart to seek the Lord himself. And it's the Lord who draws us. Doesn't he? He draws us at times. And there's other times when we just need to seek. There's times when you're going about your business and business as usual, and all of a sudden the Lord interrupts and the presence of the Lord will fill the room and the Lord will speak to your heart about something, or maybe he'll drop somebody on your heart, somebody to pray for. But folks, people need to understand that the devil is out to steal. Amen? To kill and to destroy. He wants to rob God's people of what he has now. How many know that God wants to give you some of that inheritance now? Yes. You've got an inheritance. You've got something there. You have an account. God has something for you, but you've got to call it in. You don't have to wait to the sweet by and by. God wants to give good gifts to his children. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more, right?
Right.
Will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Ooh, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Makes you happy. Makes you love everybody. Isn't it true? When we're consumed with ourselves, we don't love. All we can think about is ourself. My problems. We all have had pity parties. Come on, we all have those moments. We've got to get beyond our pity party, amen? We need to get beyond some stuff. We've got to get over some stuff. We just got to let it go. We got to pursue Him. I find that if I just set my heart and I begin to seek the Lord, that all of a sudden the things that at one time were so huge in my mind were really nothing at all. They just seemed to be huge. The devil loves to magnify little things, you see, and make them big. Has anybody discovered that yet?
Yes.
He wants to magnify evil. He wants you to look around and say, oh, it's so bad, it's so bad. You might as well just throw the towel in and hunker down in the church and wait for the rapture. Has anybody ever heard that voice too? Fear. And like the song says, but the voice of truth tells me a different story. It tells me, do not be afraid. For I am with you, the Lord says. I'm with you. He's much bigger than the boogeyman. But we don't need to fear. And the enemy will take a lie and magnify it. He will present himself, he will try to present himself to you as being bigger than the God who you serve. Isn't that true? Oh, you don't want to talk to them. Oh, you don't want to be a part of. Oh, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. Oh, what would happen if you did that? If God says do it, it means that he's going to be with you. The safest place to be is in the will of God. And whether we live under the Lord. Whether we die under the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We're His property either way. If we want to bear fruit and honor and glorify our Father, then we need to seek Him. Pursue Him. Worship Him. Be filled with Him. Continue, amen, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God lifts you up in a higher place, in a realm where there is perfect love. And perfect love casts out all fear. But if we allow fear, fear also casts out love. You can't operate in fear and faith at the same time. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but this is just what's on my heart to talk about right now. So, this thing about, I want to say this one more time. The enemy wants you and I to focus, okay, on what he's doing. He wants us to be preoccupied with what he's doing. Look at the devil. Look what he's doing now. And it's unfortunately, but some Christians are so consumed with what the devil's doing that they can't see what God is doing. All I can say is the devil this, the devil that. Are you with me? It's all about the devil. It's like, forget the devil. Resist him, he'll flee. Keep your eyes on Jesus. What Jesus is doing, that's what matters. I'm with him. I want to be tight with Jesus. I'm going with you, Lord. Hallelujah. You have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You have overcome the world. Hallelujah. The devil is under your feet. I'm going with Jesus. And he's got so many young people today duped into thinking that the devil's greater than God. So whatever you fear, you end up worshiping. So now he's got a lot of young people. If you look on the shelves, am I right? The stuff on the shelves is all full of vampirism and occult and witchcraft and dark, because he's convinced and he's lied to young people to make them think that somehow the devil's the one that has the power. I've got news for you tonight. Jesus Christ has all authority. He has all power in heaven and on earth. The devil is a liar. Don't believe him. He tells lies. So he gets people to consume this stuff, to focus on, meditate on this stuff. And all of a sudden, what he's doing, he starts to magnify himself, who is not as though he were. Jesus already dealt with him, folks. He has limited authority. And the only authority he has in your life, in my life, is what we give him through unbelief or through fear. If we start listening to his voice and start yielding to his voice and start bowing down to the pressure he tries to bring on us, then we give him right. But he knows that he really does not have power over us in the Lord, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And God wants a church that's going to rise up and say, we will not be intimidated in any way by our adversaries. We're not talking about people. But we're talking about the devils, amen, that operate in the invisible realm, and they're working through people. Hallelujah. Don't you know we have authority to take authority over them in Jesus' name? And they know that, but they don't want you to know that. Because if they can keep you in fear, they can paralyze you and prevent you from bearing fruit. So, who are we going to believe? What report? Well, that was the introduction tonight. This morning we talked about the right to choose. And I want to just continue a little bit along that theme tonight. I'll try to go through this as quickly as possible. And I'll try not to go beyond the anointing with this, all right? Lord, help us tonight. Holy Spirit, take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. Hallelujah. And I want to talk about three things primarily tonight, okay? And we touched on this morning. But number one is legalism. Number two is liberalism. And number three is life. Legalism, liberalism, and life. We talked about legalism a little bit this morning. And so many people are bound. They are bound by fear. They are being controlled. They are being manipulated by people. Sometimes well-meaning people, but people that are in error. How many know that we cannot force righteousness on anyone? You cannot force anybody to obey God in the sense where it would be a willful obedience from the heart and done out of love for their master. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 20, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, the scribes and the Pharisees, they thought that within themselves they were righteous because they did all the right things. They lived as best they could according to the law and even according to the laws that they themselves had brought in, such as straining out a gnat as they would drink because it was an unclean thing. And there was a lot of other additions that they brought in so that they were just bound by all these rules. And even they themselves really could not live to complete perfection all the rules that they had set up for themselves. And so what they did then to feel better about themselves is they would compare themselves with the people. Usually the common people, and they would think within themselves that, I'm glad I'm not like this person over here, that, my word, they don't pray as often as I do. They don't, you know, tithe. They don't, you know, teach. They don't do this. They don't do that. I'm glad I'm not like other men. And so they were comparing themselves with others. Now, obviously, there are standards that God has given us in His Word. Amen. We are to obey the Lord, His instructions. But we do that not in the sense of looking down a list of rules and finding out and checking them off and seeing if I did good here and I didn't do bad and I didn't do good there, but I did good there. But it's in a relational sense that we have come into communion with Him. We have come into intimacy with God. We are now heirs of the throne. We've become children of God. We are, amen, part of the family of God. And as such, children of our Heavenly Father, we want to live lives that are pleasing to our Father. And we do that by simply walking with Him, understanding Him, knowing His heart, knowing what pleases the Lord, and knowing what doesn't please the Lord. And if we love the Lord, we will obey Him. Are you with me?
Yes.
Not about, I have to, and if I don't, this is what's going to happen. There's a difference, isn't there?
Amen.
See, God wants us to love Him. When Jesus showed up, folks, He revealed the heart of the Father. And He revealed Himself to the people, and the people saw love in the form of a human being. Are you with me? And they began to realize how loving God is. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And he blessed the children, and he provided, and he multiplied the bread and, you know, and the fishes, and he just did so many awesome and wonderful miracles, many that are not even recorded. There were so many. But He was showing the benevolence, the heart of the Father. He is a loving and a giving God. And so, legalism is loveless devotion. It's kind of like the army, right, Frank? Do or die, don't question why. You did it because you had to do it. But boy, I can tell you, there's a lot of times I was saying stuff on the inside, even though I was standing at attention on the outside. Now, that's not what I was thinking. But when it comes to the Lord, there is a place of intimacy with Him. And it produces the fruit of love, of joy, of peace, of righteousness. where you want to do what pleases Him. Not because you have to, but because you want to, right? Yeah, you want to. Okay. So unless your righteousness exceeds that of those who are self-righteous, in other words. In other words, our righteousness, folks, is not enough. We've all heard that analogy before, haven't we?
Sure.
If there's a scale in heaven, we think there's a scale in heaven, and if the good outweighs the bad, you go to heaven. Right? If the bad outweighs the good, you go to hell. You go the other way. Well, then that would put you in the position of saving yourself. If that were possible, then Jesus would have never gone to the cross on your behalf. What can wash away my sin? The righteousness that Jesus is talking about is the righteousness that He gives. His righteousness. Are you with me, right? We knew that. Christianity 101. His righteousness is what makes the difference. If it wasn't for His righteousness and the fact that He is the one who clothes us with garments of righteousness, we could not come before the presence of the Father. You cannot come into God's holiness, into His holy presence, by your own works, by your own righteousness. He's too holy. You must be covered in the blood of Christ. You must be washed and clothed by the Lord Himself. That's why there is salvation in none other. Buddha cannot save you. Allah cannot save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Because it's only through the blood of Christ that there is forgiveness of sins. So we have a right to choose, folks. We can choose the path of legalism, which is a hard path, and it produces no fruit. You're miserable. Amen? And unfortunately, there are many Christians that are stuck in a place where they're under that type of bondage, and they're trying to produce fruit. And most of the time, what they're doing is they're just playing a role. They're role-playing. Are you with me? Why? Because they're in fear that they have to perform for the others. And so everybody comes together and everybody is guarded and everybody's doing the same thing. Secretly, they know what they're really like, but outwardly, heaven forbid that anybody should know that I have a problem. That anybody should know that I have maybe a sin issue in my life, and so therefore we fake it and we walk around as hypocrites when we're in church. I mean, you know, church should be the safest place to come.
Right.
Should be a place where you can come and say, I'm a work in progress. Are you? Because we love Jesus, we obey Him. But that doesn't mean we're perfect. We're a work in progress. But because of fear, they'll come together and everybody's in the same place. They're all guarded. Everybody's guarded. And what happens is there's no love. The love is blocked out. Why? Because where fear is, love goes. And we're in this performance-driven mode of living up to some standard that's impossible in our own flesh. And we put standards upon ourselves that God never puts on us. The Pharisees would load down people with all kinds of burdens and all kinds of responsibilities, and that you have to do this and you have to do that. And if you fail in any one of these areas, you're under condemnation and guilt and fear and shame, and they're miserable, and how can I ever be saved? Until Jesus shows up. It says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. All of you who have been under the taskmaster of performance, let me take that yoke of oppression off you and put my yoke upon you. Hook up with me. I've overcome the world. You will be an overcomer when we walk together.
Praise God.
We walk together with the Lord. We're overcomers. We're with the overcomer. I'm with Jesus. The second choice that we have is called liberalism. Most of us are familiar with that, right? Liberalism. This is irresponsible freedom. It's a misunderstood purpose. What used to appear, and I'm going to talk a little bit about my own experience, to promise me freedom and happiness was actually a trap. Cast off restraints. Don't let anybody, you know, tell you what to do. I'm my own God. I'm an independent, free-floating spirit. I just do whatever feels good. No, I don't even have that happen before, that problem, but how many know that gets you into a lot of trouble real fast? What appeared to be freedom actually turned into being a trap that got you deeper and deeper into all kinds of problems. As the enemy would then take more and more territory, more and more control away from you, and then he becomes the one who's calling the shots. Initially, he made you think that you're just free and you can float and do whatever you want and there's not going to be any problem. And you know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, because the judgment against a deed is not executed immediately, the hearts of men are fully set in them to do wickedly. In other words, I did that, I got away with it, nothing happened. So then you get into this delusional thinking that, hey, I'll just smoke a little bit more, snort a little bit more, whatever, sleep around a little bit more, whatever the vice might be, gamble a little bit more. And so what happens is people get caught into the trap that appeared to be freedom. In actuality, it was just a distraction of the enemy to get you to agree with him. Because as long as you're agreeing with him, he's going to rule you. And as long as we agree with him, he's going to take control. He's going to steal from you. And so, Jesus prayed in Luke 23:34. He said, Father, and this is from the cross, he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. You know, if we really knew the consequences of our sinful actions, if we really knew that, we wouldn't do it. How many have discovered after the fact that that was really a bad choice? You thought maybe it looked so good and it looked so appealing and it looked like, hey, no big deal, until after. Then death sets in. Then the condemnation, then the guilt, then the shame. Then the enemy just starts to pile it up on you. And his whole purpose is to get you away from God. He tells you that God's mad at you, that God will never forgive you for what you did. And so then people give up and they say, well, I tried Christianity and it didn't work for me. The devil had lied to me and in a place in my life where I had thought I had gone too far. So I just took all the stops out. Until the mercy and the love of God broke through one day. And he revealed that he still loved me and he was just waiting for me to come back. I was a prodigal son, you know. I said, one day I came to my senses and said, I'm going back to my father's house. And you know what the father did? He didn't say, get out of here, you slime bag. He said, come, my son, you know. And he welcomed me and he embraced me. He forgave me. He kissed me on the neck. Amen. He put the robe of distinction on me, a fair mitre on my head. He put the sandals on my feet as a son, amen? Amen. And that signet ring that I am an heir to the throne, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am his child. And that's the way the Father looks at you and I. The last thing you want to do is run away from Him when you mess up. Always go to Him. It breaks His heart, but He wants to forgive. He wants to restore. He doesn't want that devil to take you down. Amen. He has something good in store for you. In Jude verses 2 through 5, that's the small book just before the book of Revelation, it says, "Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Why? Because there is so much deception today. There are so many false prophets and false teachers. And he said, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. They are ungodly men." In other words, they'll come in among you, even in the church, "who turn the grace of our God into lewdness." Another word for that is licentiousness. "And deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, they receive the grace of God, but then they do despite unto the Spirit of grace, and they willfully choose to sin against God. In other words, they turn God's grace into an excuse to give license to their fleshly desires. Are you with me? You can't force righteousness. So yes, there are going to be people who are going to abuse God's grace. And so then each one of us shall give an account of ourselves in the day of judgment to God. Amen? For what we did in our body. But you cannot force people into obedience. Has anybody ever seen that work? You can do that to the degree where, but through fear, they control people and they're afraid even to leave their church, because if they leave, they're going to call judgment down upon them. They do. They call curses on some of these people. They call curses on people when they try to leave. It's a cult. And so they're bound by fear. And so it's loveless obedience. I better do this or else. Rather than I get to do this. I want to do this. I want to love God. I want to please Him. I want to serve Him. I want to know Him. I want to worship Him. I want to praise His name. He's good. God is good. And then the other side of that, of course, is the liberalism, where they turn grace into an excuse to say, "Well, we're saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves, it is a gift of God." That is true. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." That is true. Is that Ephesians 2:8? So what are we saying? So they look at that and they say, "Huh, well, there's an excuse. Once saved, always saved. I can just claim to be a follower of Jesus. I can even go to church. I can do all the things that church people do." And then they live like the devil. How many know that they are living a lie? Huh? The Bible says that whosoever loves and practices a lie, that means they have a lifestyle of living a lie, will find themselves in the lake of fire. Liberalism. There are many churches that are ordaining homosexuals into the clergy. Who would have ever thought? Even in my lifetime, I could have never imagined anything like that. Now, these people need deliverance. God loves them and God wants to set them free. God wants to forgive them. God wants to restore them. Amen? And we should reach out to them in love. We should not bash them. We should not speak bad about them. Amen? Or call them names. However, they cannot continue in that lifestyle and call heaven their home, because those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. As a matter of fact, that type of lifestyle is a perversion of God's original purpose between a man and a woman. And as a result of that, it's an abomination to Him. Satan wants to pervert and to distort what God has created. I'm going to believe the Word of God.
Amen. Yes.
I'm going to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm not going to be wise in my own understanding and say, well, that's not what I heard from my teacher. That's not what the that's not what the popular consensus is. That's not what society thinks. Forget what society thinks. The society is on the wide road that leads to destruction. Well, you're just a narrow-minded, intolerant bigot to believe like that. Well, Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life. And there's few that find it. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the world? Are we going to listen to the voices that are out there? Or are we going to serve the living God who has prepared a place for us, made a glorious home for us, amen, has an inheritance for us, wants to bless His children, wants His favor to rest upon His kids. He wants His kids to walk in the light and His righteousness and make Him known in the earth. But like any good father, when his kids, they get out of line, sometimes he just has to take us behind the shed. Thank God for his discipline too. It's not because he hates you, it's because he loves you so much. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, verse 1, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Do you see here in type what he's saying is that they were water baptized, they were spirit baptized, they were partakers of the divine nature. Who's it talking about? He's talking to the Corinthian church here, folks. Verse 5, it says, but with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples. Who's our? To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drank and rose up to play, and nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. As in one day 23,000 fell. That's what God thinks about sexual immorality. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written down for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We need to divorce death. Divorce, amen, the world. We need to give our lives completely over to Jesus. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
How many experience joy?
Amen.
How many experience joy in obedience?
Yes.
Obedience brings joy. Legalism robs you of your joy. But a relationship of life in the Spirit is what it's all about. That's the third one. It's a living relationship with God. In Galatians 4 and 4 through 7, I don't want to read it tonight, but it talks about the fact that God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. We become His kids, His children. We talked about the prodigal who was returned to fellowship with his father. The Father just waits for us to come. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means to hear, it means really to understand. Understand the Word. Understand means to stand under. It's an easy way to remember it. It means to be under the authority of. To regard as agreed or settled. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. So, we've been given the freedom to choose. God will never violate your freedom of choice. You make the decision, you decide who you're going to follow, who you're going to listen to, who you're going to obey. because God will never force Himself. God will come to you with blessings. God will come to you in grace and in mercy and in love. God will give good gifts to you, amen, to show you how much He loves you, in hopes that we would look beyond the gift to the heart of the one who gave the gift and realize how much He is in love with us. And that He wants us to quit striving, quit working. I'm talking about working for our salvation. There's a difference between working out your salvation and working for your salvation. Because you cannot. Whenever we try to do what God has already done, it's legalism. It's the flesh. Whenever we try to make something happen that God said has already happened, or says it will happen, it's what? The flesh. Abraham got impatient with God, and he tried to make happen the promise that God had given him as a promise. He says it will happen in its time and its season, but he got impatient and he acted in the flesh, amen, where he had a relationship with Hagar. So it's not about you and I performing, working for, striving for. It's simply you and I accepting the fact that Christ has already paid the price, amen. He's already accomplished for us everything that we need. He has given unto us, His church, all things that pertain to godliness. All things are freely given to you and I. Everything we need is in Him. Amen. All your provision, amen, the peace, the joy, the righteousness, it's all of Him and not of us.
Yes.
It is the fruit of His Spirit and not the fruit of our doing. There are people who strive and try to do good things and thinking, well, I'm bearing fruit for God. No. The fruit that God accepts is the fruit of His Spirit. And the fruit of His Spirit is only experienced through those who walk by faith. What is faith? It believes what God has already said about me. When Jesus hung on the cross, He said, "It is finished." You cannot save yourself. You simply need to trust in Jesus. Amen? Trusting in Jesus means that I listen to His voice. I hear His voice. I do what He tells me to do. And I do what He tells me to do because I love Him and I want to please my Lord. And I don't do those things that hurt Him because I love Him. So, there it is. Stand fast in the liberty that Christ has set you free. Amen? Don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage and performance and living up and measuring up, because you can't. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old is gone. We don't live out of that. You choose to no longer live out of that old identity. I don't live out of the old dead man, the old flesh man. Amen? Because He wants me to pay attention to Him. I put Him to death every day, and I now walk in my new identity. I walk in new life. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. I'm more than a conqueror. That's who I am.
Yes.
Reckon yourself indeed dead to sin, but alive unto God.
Yes.
Come on, say, I'm dead to sin.
I'm dead to sin.
But alive to God.
Alive to God.
Sin no longer,
sin no longer
has dominion over me.
Amen.
You're not under that taskmaster anymore in Christ. Are you born again? Is Christ in you? Is the Spirit of Christ in you? Then rejoice in Him. Worship Him. Walk with Him. Amen. Every day. Hallelujah. And starve that old life to death. Don't give it any time. Don't give it any attention. Because that old man is like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Right? See what the devil does? He just wants you to pay attention to him. Hey, psst, over here. And if he can't get you with a bad thing that you know is bad, he'll try something good. One more time. You hear this a lot, but it's very true, isn't it? That he offers us good things. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he offered him good things. But they were from the wrong source.
Yep. Right.
And it was a distraction to get him simply to pay attention to him. Take his eyes off his Father. And if he could get him to obey him, then he could defeat him. Do you hear that, folks? If Jesus had obeyed Satan in the wilderness, he could not have been our sacrifice. Because he would have come under the same condemnation as the first Adam who disobeyed. But the Bible says that he was tempted in all points such as we, yet he was without sin. And so he qualified to be the sacrifice. Hallelujah. And so if the enemy can't get you with bad things, he'll try to get you with good things. He'll try to distract you. He'll get you wrapped up in a lot of good things that are not necessarily sin, but they're distractions, and they will keep you from reaching your destiny in God. You'll get bogged down with all kinds of activities and things that God never told you even to do. There's nothing wrong with it, except it's just not the right thing. All right. Lord, thank you for tonight. Are we willing to go all the way? Are we willing to go all the way for Jesus? Are you willing to really give him your life? You know, he's calling you to do that. To step over that line. And to be done with what was. So you can have what is. You have to step away from death so that you can walk in life. Turn your back, amen, on the past so you can embrace the future that God has for you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want his people to live in fear. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? If you're struggling and you've been struggling in your life with fear, I just don't know why I got on that tonight, but I know this is just for somebody here. You're dealing with fear in your life. It's plaguing you. Some of you are also dealing with tonight, I know it in the spirit, you're dealing with shame. Shame of the past, shame of wrong choices. God does not want you to carry that any longer. God wants you to be free. He wants you to give that to him. And right where you're at, you say, Jesus, I can't save myself. I can't fix myself. I can't deliver myself. But just between you and the Lord, you say, Jesus, I just give you this fear. I give you this shame. Lord, I give you this guilt. God, I ask you to deliver me from it. I ask you, Jesus, to wash me in your blood. Purify my heart. And fill my life with your Holy Spirit. I welcome you, Lord, into every area of my life and my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to be Lord. I've called you Savior, but I want you to be Lord. I want you to be Master of my life. I want to live for you. I want to serve you all my days. Tonight, I surrender my life. I have decided to follow you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, do you know the Lord has heard you tonight? Hallelujah. And right now, we come against the spirit of fear. We come against every tormenting spirit. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. And we command you to loose them in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for setting the captives free. And whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Go in the joy of the Lord. Go in the peace of your Lord. Walk in His love, in His presence. Hallelujah. You are free. You are free. Now I want you just to declare yourself tonight, I am free. In Jesus' name. No more condemnation, guilt or shame. I am free in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.